Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Just a couple of short comments, and then we'll go right to our callers. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, just mentioned, numerically translates to 888-275-4265. Our contact information, as always, on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, as always, standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. So just filling in on some of the details swirling around in my life. First, I suppose I ought to mention that I had a bone marrow biopsy just an hour or so ago, and find out what's going on with me in 10 days, I believe. But I feel very peaceful and look forward to whatever the Lord has in store for me. Also, I touched on this yesterday. I got a letter from Troy Miller, President and CEO of National Religious Broadcasters Television. By the way, they have a great motto, think deeply, live differently. But Troy said that it had been brought to his attention that I have converted to the Eastern Orthodox Church, and went on to say that that had negatively affected our viewership. For me, the grief unspoken is not being able to say goodbye to our NRB viewers. Why? Because he made the cancellation immediate. I don't know what people are afraid of, what they think I'm going to say that in some way damages their viewers. But look, I intend to handle all these matters with meekness and reverence. I think that's what the Lord would have us do, and I'm deeply in love with the Lord. That communique by Troy Miller, who was the president of the NRB Television, was something that followed on the heels of Dr. Jerry Johnson, who is the president and CEO of the whole shebang. He very graciously asked me in a personal communication if I would reaffirm their statement of faith, which I was more than happy to do. In fact, I commended NRB for the excellence and depth of their statement. But all of this got me to wondering a little bit this morning, what would have happened if I joined a Methodist church? Would anyone have batted an eye? Remember, not long ago, in the Methodist community, Karen Olivito, married to a woman, was elected a bishop. I mean, not a pastor, but a bishop. Or would anyone have batted an eye if I joined a dispensational body of believers who hold that we will be raptured after herding Jews into the Holy Land for what they believe will be the ultimate Holocaust as a result of this persecution of Jewish people, according to writers like Tim LaHaye and Hal Lindsey and many, many people that you can listen to on Christian radio. According to them, this means that two-thirds of the Jewish people are going to be killed. And they use monikers like the Day of Israel's Calamity or Antichrist's final solution to the Jewish people. And as Tim LaHaye has written, this time of national suffering for the Jews is going to be far worse than the Spanish Inquisition or even the Holocaust of Adolf Hitler. Because according to these prophecy pundits, you can take every horror, and these are their words, I'm just quoting LaHaye now, of every war since time began. You can throw in every national disaster in recorded history. You can cast off all restraints so that the unspeakable cruelty and hatred and injustice of man towards his fellow man can fully mature, and you can press all of that into 7 years, and that won't even approach the mind-boggling terror that the Jews are about to face in a 21st century Holocaust. Now, again, if I joined a community like that, would anybody bat an eye? No. Probably not. No, maybe I should say they might have after I wrote the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. My point, I suppose, is that the Orthodox Church isn't perfect, but I don't have to deal with any of that stuff, nor do my kids within the Orthodox community. I'm going to go right to the calls. Much more could be said. I've had so many people write me. I'm just overwhelmed. Read one at least. Ken from Cincinnati, who wrote, "I'm a confessional Lutheran, and I support Hank's prayerful and studious decision to enter the Orthodox Church, which is the oldest communion, and which gave us the ecumenical creeds and most of the holy martyrs. Evangelicals give mostly tongue wagging." And trolling on theological topics. Well, a lot of calls, a lot of questions. Let's go right to the phone lines, and we'll talk directly to Susie, who's listening in Washington on KCIS. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Hank. I've been listening to you. I used to listen to you in the 1990s, and I came back and found you're still here. Woohoo! So
exactly.
I was listening to you yesterday. And I better take you off speakerphone. Hold on.
You sound great.
Sorry. I was listening to you yesterday, and I was wondering what is going on, what changes are you talking about? The reason why I called today is because I wanted to ask that, and as well to ask you to explain Melchizedek. And then I also just want to say I saw your videos on YouTube against the Word Faith movement, and I just really appreciate you standing up against that. Those lies, and so I'll let you go ahead and talk.
Well, thank you. So your question is about Melchizedek.
My first question is about Melchizedek, and then my second question is, could you just help me understand what are the changes that you're talking about that you've made beliefs?
Well, I joined an Orthodox church with my family after attending for two and a half years. And one of the things that I believe in deeply as a result of studying the first 1,700 years of church history, and really more than that, I've been reading scholars in the present as well, is I believe in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist or in the Lord's Supper or in communion. Meaning that this is one of the chief graces by which we as humans can become, by grace, what God is by nature. Again, that does not mean, and no one has ever taught this, in orthodoxy, with a small o, this does not mean that we can become God as God is in the Godhead. It simply means that we can become, well, you could use another word, we can be sanctified. We can become more and more filled with Christ. So the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist is very important to me. It's also important for me to have a safe zone, in a sense, for a very large family. I have 12 kids and grandkids, and there's so much stuff going on in various denominations that is simply mind-boggling. You have the teachings of people like Todd White, or you have the teachings of Word of Faith people, or you have the, I mentioned at the top of the show, you have a woman who is married to a woman now being elected as a bishop. Well, this happened late last year, I think it was, but elected as a bishop in the Methodist community. of believers. And so while orthodoxy most certainly is not perfect, no body of Christ is perfect, we just happen to find a very, very wonderful Orthodox church in our community. And, you know, I've appreciated it for many reasons. I've learned a tremendous amount, and I've been learning for over 30 years. That's why I've been doing the Bible Instrument broadcast. But I've learned so much. And let me say this. There's a lot of things I could say, but it would take too much time. One of the things that I appreciate the most is the fact that orthodoxy, when you walk into an Orthodox church, all your senses are engaged, the sense of sight and smell and sound. And it's a reminder that God uses earthly perceptible realities to point to spiritual verities. There's a meaning behind everything. I mean, you think about the incense. Some of the critics have been saying, well, this is like smoking weed in my apartment. But no, it's not that at all. If you read the book of Revelation, or better yet, memorize it, what you'll find is that the Apostle John talks about these things, golden bowls full of incense. What are they? Well, they're emblematic of the prayers of the saints. Of course, I'm not making this up. That's precisely what John appends in the book of Revelation. Let me talk about Melchizedek. What does the text tell us? Well, the text of Scripture says that Melchizedek is without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life. So had Melchizedek been an earthly king, a king of such surpassing substance and significance that the biblical text actually calls him the greater and Abraham the lesser, one would suppose sacred scripture to have ample supply of reference to his genealogy, but there is no such thing in scripture. So from the perspective of heaven, it is Melchizedek who is king of Salem and remains a priest forever. So Melchizedek appears as a human king and a priest, and yet is without beginning of days or end of life, a priest who offers bread and wine from the Jerusalem that is above, that is free, that is our mother. Now, let me just kind of curtail my remarks by summarizing that Scripture not only designates Melchizedek king of righteousness and king of peace, but overtly tells us that he is, again, without any genealogy, without any beginning of days or end of life, but like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. And one other thing that might be useful to you, he did not trace his descent from Levi, and yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. And without doubt, the lesser person here is blessed by the greater, because in one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, in the other case, by him who is declared to be the living. So, bottom line here for me, Susie, is that in contrast to men who die, Melchizedek is declared to be the living. So what does that mean? It means that Melchizedek, in my view, is a Christophany. It is an appearance of Christ, very much like we see appearances of Christ in the Old Testament. Those appearances or Christophanies are usually referred to as the angel of Yahweh appearing, like the angel of Yahweh appearing in so many cases that you read about in the Old Testament.
Well, thank you. Well, I just want to say thank you for that, and I appreciate the fight that you have fought to try to share and discern truth. I mean, I remember you from so many years ago fighting those battles and helping people to understand what the truth is in the Scripture. And there came a time when we, too, became disillusioned with our church and the worldliness and stuff. For us, we turned to, like, I don't know if you've heard of David Berceau. I do not recommend him. But we looked at his book, and we looked at what he was saying, and we were just trying to get back to the, you know, some roots, let's say, of Christianity. And what we found a lot of legalism. And the short summary is God gave us a giant spanking, and we just really have come back to the grace of Christ. And whatever, I just, Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful that regardless of what we are seeing today and how we all continually need to repent, He's still Lord. And
Amen.
Thank you, Hank, for what you have shared.
Thank you, Susie. We are coming up to station break, as you can hear from the music on the other side of the break. Excuse me, we'll go directly to your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And the third segment, we have the quote of the day. So a lot coming up in this particular edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Number dial 888-ASK-HANK. And my deepest appreciation for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Without your support, I simply couldn't do what I do. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Be right back. So please don't touch that dial.
C.S. Lewis once said, "Good philosophy must exist, if for no other reason because bad philosophy needs to be answered." These words are more relevant than ever in our post-truth culture. The article, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith by Donald T. Williams, shows why throwing down our weapons is betrayal. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. Donald T. Williams perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. Other topics include the abolition of man today, three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it, how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI. or go online to equip.org. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Paul and Ethel Gould share three ways they have taught their kids apologetics effectively without them even knowing it. Don't miss three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Now, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and a reminder that my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, is going to be released on October 10th. That's a HarperCollins publication. For your gift to the minister, receive an autographed copy. For your gift of $50 or more, receive two, and some bonus material. And for your gift of $100 or more, receive not just two autographed, but two personalized copies and bonus material. All the proceeds, by the way, of my books go to this ministry. Anything sold through the ministry in any way whatsoever, all the proceeds go to further this ministry. So it's a great way of getting a resource that I worked on for several years and a great way of supporting the ministry as well. You can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI, or you can get more information on the web at equip.org. Also, want to remind those who are asking me about my journey over the last 10 or so years, all of that will be part of a new book that I'm writing. I have to have the manuscript done. Lord willing, I'll be able to do that December 1st of this year, so it'll be coming out in 2018. But that book is really going to talk about my journey into what everybody's talking about, it seems like, today. The book is going to be titled Truth Matters, Life Matters More, and it is Discovering the Authentic Christian Life. Again, all that coming up in the future, Lord willing. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Sharon in Connecticut, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Sharon. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, Hank.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay.
Can you hear me?
I can. You sound wonderful.
Okay. I just had a question about, I was wondering if you had heard of Bethel Church and their leader, Bill Johnson. And then also a man named Todd White, who sort of, I think, trained under him to some degree. I have some Christian friends who really are into that, the Bethel Church and their teachings. And I've seen sermons of them sort of calling out, saying, you know, God's speaking to me about back pain or fused discs. Is there anyone here who has this problem? And then people will raise their hands, and then they pray, and then they say, and are you healed? And people will say, oh, I'm healed. And I'm just wondering if you've heard of these people and what you think about or also healing in that way.
Yeah, very, very sad to talk about those two particular people. I think what you've said is generally correct. I was just looking at a Charisma magazine where Todd White is on the cover, and the article about Todd White says that his ministry is very similar to when Jesus was on the earth. He just walks around looking for people who need a savior, a healer, and a deliverer, and what happens is he walks around and just people left and right are healed. This is a con. From a spiritual standpoint, that I've written about in a book called Counterfeit Revival. Todd White, he's basically teaches at Randy Clark School of Supernatural Ministry. He received an imputation from Benny Hinn, or an impartation, I should say, and Bill Johnson. It's common for him again to say that this is everyday stuff for me. When I go to restaurants or I go to the mall or I go anywhere, I see people being healed. As far as Bill Johnson, the mentor, is concerned, his church promotes all kinds of nonsense. I mean, this is the kind of nonsense that is gaining traction in the larger evangelical community. And, for example, he'll tell people that God has a warehouse of body parts. And so if you have an amputated leg and you got the formula right, a rather capricious God is going to send you the body part. Now, this is not in any way suggesting that I do not believe that God can heal. In fact, I have been praying diligently that God would heal me. But the reality is, sometimes God chastises us. Sometimes God puts us in the fiery furnace. I have a quote of the day coming up after the break in which, this is not part of the quote, but it is a Charles Haddon Spurgeon quote where he says, excuse me, were you ever in the melting pot, dear friends? I have been there in my sermons with me. The result of melting is that you arrive at a true valuation of things and you're poured out in new and better fashion. So we would almost wish for the melting pot so that we might be refined as gold in the furnace. But anyway, that's kind of the bottom line. I played clips of Bill Johnson. We did an article in the Christian Research Journal that analyzes his ministry. And so you can check that all out on the web at equip.org.
Do you feel like he's a false prophet?
A lot of his teachings are very, very suspect when it comes to orthodoxy with a small O. I suppose orthodoxy with a big O as well.
Okay. Yeah. I have some friends who are very caught up in him and his ministry, and they went to a school of supernatural ministry, and they're, wanting to start a Bethel church in my town. So I kind of started watching some of his videos, and I'm just thinking, it just seems, something seems off. So,
well, it's not just off. I mean, it is downright abominable. And I wrote about this again in a book called Counterfeit Revival, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. In fact, I did an updated version a number of years ago. So it is also available.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You got it, Sharon. Thank you so much for your call. Patrick next in South Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, Ray. I was just listening to everything. My thoughts are everywhere, but my intentional question was, what is the reason for denominations? And sitting here and listening to you yesterday with the broadcast people that just cut you off, it brought to my mind where Jesus told his apostles, like, wipe your feet off and move on. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I dearly love people, and my attitude towards those who have made statements about me leaving the Christian faith or no longer being a Christian. My immediate reaction is not anger. It is, I'm more concerned about what the Lord thinks about how I conduct my daily life than I am about those kinds of accusations. I'm going to stand before a holy or righteous God, and I have a lot to account for myself. There are sins of omission and sins of commission, and we're all subject to them. So I'm constantly asking the Lord, with a broken and a contrite heart, to forgive me my sins. A moment of anger or failing to do for someone what I could. And the Lord has made this very, very real to me. His real presence to me has radically rearranged my life. This is not a broadcast that is all about truth. It is about truth. I won't shy away from that. just parenthetically, I mean, you think about what I've done in my career. I've been at this for a long time. My first book, which was a runaway bestseller, it's been translated. Everywhere I go in the world, I find it in libraries, Christianity in Crisis. And that book was really about the Word of Faith movement, which was a real prostitution of what faith is. It was, in essence, New Thought metaphysics repackaged for Christian consumption. And then I mentioned a few moments ago, I wrote a book called Counterfeit Revival. It was sweeping the denominations. And then many other books I could talk about. I mean, when the Prayer of Jabez came out, I mean, here you too had a capricious God. You had to have the formula just right, and then you get your body part. And so I wrote the Prayer of Jesus in counter to that. You know, one that was pretty black and white was the Millennium Bug Debugged. People were saying that this was going to be the end. They were mining the subjunctive, looking for the seed of threat buried in each unrealized instance. Well, when I wrote that book, I had people like James Dobson say that I would have the blood of millions of people on my hands because I was creating complacency within the body of Christ. He apologized for that, and I do appreciate for that. But it was like the world came down on me. In every single case, it looked like it was going to be the end of my ministry. But I've gone on. I wrote the Apocalypse Code. Oh, my goodness. There were whole church groups, I won't name them just to be kind, that I preached in for years and years and years. Suddenly they shut their doors to me. So I've faced this over and over and over again in my ministry, and so I'm somewhat used to it on the one hand. But in this case, I would say something very different is going on. This is not just about truth and being committed to speaking the truth no matter what the cost. This also is about life. It is not just about knowing. It is about experiencing the resurrected Christ. And so the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ has been not just something that I can prove apologetically, but it's something that has, as I said, radically rearranged my life. And I'm very grateful for the Orthodox community around the world that has been so gracious and kind to me. I've seen the love of Jesus Christ there. But I also see this all over the place. I have friends in the Southern Baptist denominations, and they've been very encouraging to me. I've got friends all over the place in the Christian community, and this is not for me a matter of subtraction. It is a matter of addition. As far as the denominations in general are concerned, probably over 30,000 now. Some statistics say this is much higher than that. But the stats are indicative of distinct organizations and not necessarily separate or distinct beliefs. Really six or so major categories. You think about the Orthodox, the Roman Catholic, the Anglicans, the Protestants, the Independents, and so forth. And many causes for splitting into denominations are a direct result of sin. But typically, issues that people have divided over are secondary issues. Issues like the sovereignty of God versus human free will, the Lord's Supper, ecclesiology, church-state issues, baptism, gender fluidity issues, and you can go on and on. Appreciate your call. Coming up to Station Break, we'll be back on the other side of the break, not only with more answers to your questions, but also with the quote of the day. You don't want to miss it. I'll be right back.
C.S. Lewis said, "A hard heart is no infallible protection against a soft head." If a society becomes blind to the life-giving light of the natural moral law, it will in the end be led to death by the base animalistic appetites of a small class of powerful individuals. As a way of grappling with the decline of truth, the current issue of the Christian Research Journal features two articles focused on Lewis's work, showing us how to speak and feel the truth in love and why not doing so is a betrayal. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. In his prophetic book, The Abolition of Man, C.S. Lewis forewarned that silencing moral language, subduing moral emotions, and subjecting humanity to moral and eugenic manipulations would bring disaster and death. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal looks at Lewis's warnings with a view toward the solution of not merely rejecting moral subjectivism, but also learning to speak and feel the truth of the natural moral law in love. Don't miss Adam C. Peltzer's article, The Abolition of Man, today in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy of the journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from Charles Spurgeon. He was well known as the Prince of Preachers. I think his sermon series constitutes the largest sermon series of any kind on the planet. It's quite extraordinary. He was a pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. This quote is absolutely convicting. He said, "If any of you who have been converted or undergoing a melting just now, do not be staggered by it. It is no strange thing that has happened to you, and it is no evil thing. You have no doubt needed it. You were growing too gross, too careless, and it was necessary for you that you should be melted. Now God has given you the highest proof of his love in this melting, this scourging, this suffering, this breaking down, this annihilating of carnal confidence, this hanging up of Mr. Presumption by the neck that he might die, that self may fail, and that Jesus may be all in all. God grant that it may be so. I alluded to this earlier in the broadcast when I talked about being in the melting pot so that you could be poured out in new and better fashion. I love that quote, again, by the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David next. He's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, David.
Hey. I just wanted to know what your take is on Elevation Church and Pastor Stephen Furtick. I mean, I just think he's a phenomenal teacher, and I've read several of his books, and they just all seem really solid and scriptural. Just wanted to give your input on that.
Yeah, I don't really want to comment on his ministry too much. I've been to his services a number of times. He once told me that my book, Christianity in Crisis, was very instrumental in his life. In fact, he, when he was talking, pulled a copy of it, a rather ratty copy of it, off his shelf and showed it to me. I have been concerned over the years that he has had Word of Faith teachers in his pulpit, and I think rather than let the wolf into the sheep pen, the pastor is called to protect the sheep. I'm also quite wary of consumeristic Christianity, where Christ becomes a means to an end as opposed to being the end, where people are being invited to the master's table not for the love of the master, but because of what is on the master's table. So for those and other reasons, I personally would not attend Elevation. I know there are many wonderful Christians that do. Many of them happen to be my friends. So I guess that's all I have to say about that. Let's go to Mike. He's listening in Alberta, Canada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Oh, hello, Hank. How are you?
Doing okay, thank you.
Awesome. Good. Yeah, I'm good. I just want to ask you a few things, you know, a little politeness. I mean, you're an adult, you can do what you want, whatever. But anyway, with you converted to the Orthodox Church, and I know for a fact that half of our church that I attend are ex-Orthodox people. They're from the Orthodox Church. They don't believe in justification by faith alone. They don't believe in salvation, and I could go on and on. So how are you going to, the way you believe, how are you going to reconcile that? Are you going to have to quit believing that and believe in works?
Yeah, well, I would disagree with the premise of a lot of what you said. In fact, the Eastern Church had no context for the polarization of faith and works. The ecumenical councils had long settled that conundrum through the recognition that salvation comes through faith in Christ who fulfills the law. And therefore, they held very fastidiously to what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith in this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So the Eastern Church saw true faith. And I think this is exactly how I feel about it. They saw true faith not just as a momentary transaction, but rather they saw it as a transformational way of life. The fact that through his great kindness, we are justified by faith and empowered by the Trinity to give the cup of water and the piece of bread to those in need, and as such bring glory to God. So it's not transactional, where you say, well, I prayed a prayer, a little woofle dust, and now I'm in. I got the insurance policy. I'm going to go to heaven, and then I can live as a baptized secular humanist for the rest of my life. No, this is a transformational way of life. And again, You think back to the Western Church during the Reformation period, when there was a great concern of the prevailing notion that salvation depended on human merit rather than the grace and mercy of God. The Eastern Church never got into that controversy. That was a controversy between the Protestants and the Catholics. Let me say one other thing. One thing I know for certain, having attended an Eastern Orthodox church now, you know, everybody's acting like this is news. I've been attending an Orthodox church for over 2.5 years. But I know for certain, having done that, that in the Orthodox church, they're very committed to what Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says. And let me paraphrase that. What it says is, I thank God daily that I am a new creation in Christ. Why? Because by grace I have been saved through faith, and that not of myself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest I should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And again, we ought to walk in those good works. But look, the formulation given by Paul in this passage is pretty clear. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I have been saved through faith, not of myself. Again, it is the gift of God. Now, certainly, if you look historically at what happened during the Reformation and thereafter, Luther did not like what James had to say about works. You know, James is very clear. I mean, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by what I do. Luther actually called the book of James, which we have in our Bibles today, called it an epistle of straw, and as it were, pulled it out of his Bible. For me, the book of James is one of the most treasured books in the whole of Scripture. I love all of Scripture, but it is a treasured book. So, yeah, I mean, the ideas that float around from time to time, and some are recanted. I'm not going to get into all the details here, but these are essentially a result of a polarization between faith and works, and I don't think we ought to make that polarization. We ought to live a transformational life. And if I say I love, excuse me, if I say I love my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I don't love my neighbor, if I don't love those who are in need in my midst, how can I really say I love God? So works are a natural thing for all of us as Christians, as we live out the Christian faith with meekness and reverence. You know, I'm getting so many calls about orthodoxy, and my apologies, I can't do anything about it at this point. At some, I suppose, sometime in the future, this will start to fizzle out a little bit, and we'll get calls and lots of other things, but please, I'm simply, when I get a board full of calls, I'm simply going to the calls that are coming up. Robert, he is in Pennsylvania listening on the web. Hi, Robert.
Good evening, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Well, first of all, I am a fellow Orthodox Christian.
Hmm.
So I'll start there. So I hold your beliefs in every sense of the word. So first of all, I want to congratulate you on your entry into the church. I welcome you and embrace you with open arms. And I'm going to ask you a question that I ask everyone who comes into the church, and I'll kind of clarify it from my end as well. But what was the number one thing that brought you to Orthodoxy? What was it that kind of was the trigger for you, so to speak?
Well, that's a big question. Let me use one word: theosis. And the chief way by which we experience theosis is through the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. That has been life transformational for me. But I've also fallen in love with a particular Orthodox community. I can't wait not only to get to church, but to give in church, because I love this Orthodox community. The priests, the people, I mean, the fellowship, I have never seen such a fellowship. And I know they exist all over the place. I just happen to be partial to this community. It's become my community. And they're just wonderful, godly people that have been very, very beneficial in my growth and the growth of my family. And so I deeply appreciate my particular community, St. Nectarius. So I'm very grateful for that. But I love the fact that in corporate church worship, as I mentioned earlier on in the broadcast, all my senses are engaged, and my perspective when I walk into that church, when I open those massive doors, my perspective is I'm not here to get anything. I'm here to worship God, and so for those and many other reasons I've fallen in love with our particular. But look, I mentioned this earlier, and I think most Orthodox would agree with this. I mean, they're not a perfect community. Just like every church, they have their problems. And right now, they have a real sense of wanting to reach out to the world at a critical time in history. And I want to be a part of that, too. So there are a lot of reasons. I am out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Robert, I would love to speak with you longer. Yeah, please pray for me. I'll pray for you. I am very excited about the future. I'm in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm doing what I do because life and truth matter. And at the end, I have an audience of one to appeal to and to seek approval from. And that is at the judgment seat. I'm going to give an answer for what I did in the flesh. So thank you for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Look forward to talking to you right back, being with you right back here tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Topics include C.S. Lewis and the Abolition of Man, the ethics of modern board and card games, three ways to teach your kids apologetics, and much more. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it, and historical amnesia means certain death when moral truth is forgotten. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal examines C.S. Lewis's prophetic warning that the growing acceptance of moral subjectivism and the moral skepticism it breeds would lead to a pernicious moral and eugenic manipulation of humanity. If we are to forestall the nightmarish consequences of the death of truth, followers of Christ must reject ignorance and false knowledge and deliberately learn to speak and feel the truth of the natural moral law in love. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888 7000 CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.